Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show. My name is Debbie Perkins, and I am your host. I have a really amazing, exceptional guest tonight. Her name is Kadosha Ona. She is queen of the paranormal, the face of airport television streaming services, the host of Hollywood Entertainment News International, exclusive film producer with over 175 plus titles, 18 awards, and then some. Welcome to the show, Kadosha. Oh, what an amazing title you have.
Thank you.
There's so much more. I couldn't even put it all in there without wanting to talk with you more.
Well, what I do? I never rely on my laurels. I always continue to work and push for women right to the limits and beyond. And I just like to stay busy and do different projects. So therefore, my resume and everything just keeps growing.
It is growing amazing. And you are the face of airport television. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about how you got started in the paranormal field, because now you're the queen of the paranormal. So tell everybody how that began.
Well, I must admit, I did not pick out the name Queen of the Paranormal for myself. To a lot of paranormal investigators' dismay, it was a gentleman that called into a radio show in 2007 while I was doing a program called Cece the Huntress. Now, we use Cece because no one can pronounce Kadosha Ona. So we did that, and plus we use Cece for another show that I was doing on broadcast up here in New England called The Everything Show, where we highlighted businesses, we did ghost stories, we just had so much fun. And so this gentleman called into a radio show, very similar to yours, and I was the guest, and he coined me, he said, I'm going to coin you Queen of the Paranormal. And the name, I said, that is really cool. So the name stuck. And then I was doing events. Cece the Huntress is Queen of the Paranormal. And I've got all the posters from way back then, from 2007 up. And so I decided to trademark the name Queen of the Paranormal. And I just trademarked it because I wanted to use it, not anybody else, you know. And it cost a pretty penny to do that. I must admit, I had to save up. And I trademarked it, and it was the best move I ever made, because now I have licensing deals. I have people that look twice and go, wow. Then they're going to look at my my resume, my IMDb page. And, you know, I sell products under the trademark name. I have comics under the trademark name. And it all of a sudden gives you some, especially in the paranormal, it gives you like a boost, like people go, oh, who's that? And then they get to read about you because it's a catchy name. So it was the best move I made financially for my family, most definitely, to have that trademark. And that's how that came about.
I love it. I love it that somebody inspired you with that name, because I've been on lots of shows myself, but I've never heard of anybody else being called the Queen of the Paranormal. So you taking that title was probably the perfect thing to do, because, you know, I've heard of Godmother and Godfather, you know what I'm saying? But I've never heard of anybody called Queen. So I'm glad you took that.
No, I took that way back when, and it's funny because when you do fill out for trademark and stuff, people must understand, if you're filling out for a trademark and it's close to someone else's trademark, like it could be confused as, they won't give it to you. So if someone decided to trademark the Paranormal Queen instead of Queen of the Paranormal, that would be declined. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do King of the Paranormal either. Yes, they can use King of the Paranormal, like for a radio show or Paranormal King. Actually, that is a network, and I've been on there, you know, being interviewed with people and by people. And but if they went to trademark it, they couldn't do it, and that's probably why they haven't yet. You have to be really careful with trademarks to even get one. and you have to stay within, you know, the legal lingo there, that you can't be similar to someone else. So no one can be the princess of, the duke of, the this or that of. It's only me, or I'll chop your head off, one or the other. What do you want?
It's so funny. That's really great too. But I myself know you as a paranormal researcher and an event. You've done many, many successful, fully successful events in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I'm
going to
knock on wood. I have never done a not sold out event. I'm just knocking on wood, which is my head, because that could happen. But in all of the 15 years of doing actual events, they've all been sold out to their capacity and where everybody is comfortable and having a good time. So I'm known for that. And then when I started doing Queen of the Paranormal events and going further, like national, international things that I do, we decided not to do the smaller events anymore because it was sold out in a matter of an hour or two, and then it was just too many people to make it a pleasurable experience for all. So we decided not to do the smaller ones.
That makes sense. And you also did the Paranormal Awards, which I was a little part of, but I love that you were in control of all of that. You were the headliner of everything, as far as from the whole thing, the talent. And
right.
People don't understand that there was a live show that night on top of the awards.
Yes, we did shows. The Paranormal Awards is an idea that I had thought of. I thought it'd be great to give people based on their, you know, accomplishments, achievements, their merits, and to have a judging system that was judged by professionals in the industry. Not to say just paranormal industry. If we were looking for best paranormal radio show, then what I would do was I would have judges that were award-winning people in radio that had shows, not just paranormal shows, so they could judge for consistency, for style, for repetitiveness, professionalism, and that's how they were voted. Now, if we had, we were looking at a paranormal team, an investigative team, I would have actual investigators, private investigators, police investigators, to judge to see if they were really working as a unit. And people didn't realize that, but that was the caliber of judging that we did, that we had people in different fields that could actually judge based on, you know, their achievements and things. So it was a lot of fun. And then we had the, you know, singing, and we had performances, and it was just a fun thing for everyone. And I think, you know, some people, they're always crying poo-poo that, you know, I gave myself all these awards in the paranormal industry. Well, for one thing, I never participated as a participant in the Paranormal Awards, so I never got an award for that, you know.
I know,
and
that's
then
crazy.
My
yes, I
that's
understand.
Crazy. And
I
the award the awards I did receive in the paranormal had nothing to do with the Paranormal Awards, and they're listed. They came way back in the 90s when I was doing Ghost Stories of New England with on broadcast television with history and a very, you know, brief ghost investigations. And I would get awards on television. These are television, real awards, you know. These were not the online thing because we didn't have online. And so these were really award processes that I would win in broadcast television when it came to the paranormal and ghost hunting, things like that. So what I like to tell people is don't ever assume. And don't believe what other people say about people. Go and research it for yourself. And then you can clearly see that, she didn't give herself awards. These are awards given by professional agencies and broadcast television.
Yeah, I totally get that, and I understand. And you are 100% right about that, because I followed your career for quite a few years myself, and I understand what you're saying. Now, you are not just Queen of the Paranormal, you are an author. You've written some books. And would you like to talk about them a little bit?
Sure. I was the first person that History Press contacted when they were doing their Haunted America series. They wanted to do it was like a pilot project because I was very steeped in history. And I was, I'm not going to say an amateur historian, but a little more. I wasn't a professional historian, but I wasn't an amateur either. I was in the middle. And so they liked that, and they liked the programs that I would put forward on the Everything Show and CC the Huntress. So they contacted me, and I wrote their very first book there when it came to Haunted America series, and it was called Ghosts and Legends of the Merrimack Valley. Now, they're continuing that series, and what they usually do is just, you know, ghost stories from, I don't know, Atlanta, Georgia, or ghost stories from Lawrence, Massachusetts. They usually stay in one town. But they gave me, you know, the Merrimack Valley, and they didn't realize the Merrimack Valley consists of two completely different states, from the White Mountains in New Hampshire all the way down to the ocean in Massachusetts. So I told them that, and they're saying, oh, that's a lot of stuff to cover. And so I covered it because I threw it back at them. Why don't we create a timeline from history to industry, settlement to industry, and present day? So we had a focus on different things with had steeped in history and also locations you could go and exchange commerce. And I thought that was pretty good because a lot of ghost stories that you could buy on Amazon or eBay or the bookstore, you can go in there and get them, and they'll tell you this is a private location, and I can't tell you where. And I'm thinking, you know what? I could have wrote that in my freaking living room. No one would have known. But I wanted people to be able to go and actually exchange commerce and go to these locations and have pictures from those locations. It's real. And so that's an exciting book. Then I went on to write Ghosts of the New Hampshire Seacoast, another real book, which we just went down the New Hampshire Seacoast and all the locations, again, from history and to present day, photographs, things you could go and actually visit and have a great time with. So, yeah, that's what I like, to put the realism in it so people can clearly see that, yeah, these locations are fun. Man, I think I'm going to go there. And then they do.
Yeah, you've done the Holland Tunnel. You've done some awesome. The tunnel, was that what was the name of that tunnel that you had?
That was the Hoosac Tunnel.
That was a huge history.
And that is a 5-mile tunnel through solid granite from Orange, Massachusetts. Oh, no, excuse me, Florida. I keep saying Orange only because, you know, I'm thinking of Florida oranges. But it's Florida, Massachusetts. Massachusetts to North Adams, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Now, the west portal is in North Adams, and the east portal is in Florida, Massachusetts. It sits aside the Hoosac River and the Deerfield River on either side.
Now, you're the only one to ever investigate that I know.
Yes, I was the only one to have received permission to completely go through the train tunnel. And the train schedule was that no trains were going by at that particular time that we were doing the investigation. We're not only doing the investigation, we're filming it on top of it all. And we had practiced for a couple of months on how, like, timing 5 miles. We're going to go so many miles and stop. Then we're going to go so many miles and stop. We got so many minutes, of footage. We don't have an hour show. How are we going to do it? We can't film the whole thing. We can take audio of the whole thing. So what we did was we did a lot of research and broke it up, and we actually trained to carry all the equipment, to carry food, to make the show, real, because that's what I was known for. And those programs was never over-edited. Excuse me.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing. And so, We did a great show. But, you know, you look at all the other people at television at that time, they did not receive permission, and they could only stand outside and yell into the tunnel. We received permission. The trains were not rolling, but we came across two trains anyways. And when I wrote back and said, hey, what happened with the train situation? They were like, there were no trains. There's nothing on the schedule. So figure that one out.
The underground, I mean, talking about the railroad type thing, you also did the Underground Railroad in Salem, Massachusetts, and no one else had ever done that, ever.
In Salem, Massachusetts?
I believe it was Salem, Massachusetts.
The first Underground Railroad show I did was a home in Milford, Massachusetts. And what I do is I climbed under the home while we were filming it, and we were filming it, and we actually found a room to the Underground Railroad, which they, you know, that this reverend who owned the home was part of. And indeed he was. And in fact, we contacted New Hampshire University regarding, you know, different things that were inside that room underground. It was so cool. And then in Salem, Massachusetts, we went under the ground, and there were tunnels under the ground that led from Derby Wharf, which is the ocean out there, into homes, not stores. They went right under the town into homes, and you could always tell which home had the tunnel because the fireplaces were right up meshed against. Like, you know, usually they have a center fireplace, but these were all set to the side walls. And so people would come in underneath, and they would bring merchandise, and they would bring it into the homes. And from the homes, they would bring it into the stores. And the reason they did this is because they did not want to pay any money to the king at that time, you know, in Britain. And then after that, they did not want to have to pay any taxes when we became the United States. So they would hide the products. And a lot of people, you know, try to not pay taxes. You know, nowadays they try to, like, you know, game the system. They were doing it back then, too. So
wow.
Yeah, nothing has changed.
That's crazy.
That's crazy
and such an awesome history. That you're just like, you're giving us so much history, which I think is amazing. I wanted to acknowledge you for being the first person to do the White Mountains Motel. It looks like The Shining. For those of you who don't know the hotel, it looks like The Shining, the big building from The Shining. And I think it was known to be kind of like a replica or something in that of that nature. But you did the first event there, or was it investigation? But you were the very first to ever go there, and somebody else tried to take claim, but you got it back.
Yes, I got it back because I'm known in the industry, in fact, and not just the paranormal industry, but in the media industry and working as a publicist I do with technical companies and science companies, that give credit where credit is due. If not, I'm going to take it from you. And I've said it a million times, and it was the Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes, and the rest of the Ghost Hunters there, Dave Tango, Steve Gonzalez. And they claim that they were the first persons to investigate the White Mountains Hotel. And I'm thinking to myself, I was there 2 years with New Hampshire Magazine's editor,
yes,
Winland Cable, and we filmed it, and we did the interviews, and we had it up on TV. So I was very upset, and I tried to get their management, Mark Tetlow from Ideal Event Management, to get them to credit me. And no matter what I did, it wouldn't happen. So finally, after years went by, and it's like, you know, they're making money on what I did first, period. They took money out of my pocket that I feed my family with, and that pissed me off. So what I did was I got a hold of the hotel, and not just the hotel, but the actual people. I think it's Omni Corporation that owned the hotel at that point. And I sent them all my transmissions and emails and programming and such. And boy, they pull the credit from the ghost hunters in 2 seconds because the proof is in writing. It's right there.
Yeah.
And so now when you go to the Mount Washington Hotel, you ask who was the first one. Best tell you it was me. As far as the history of the Mount Washington Hotel, I am in it, and the ghost hunters were taken out of it for the lie that they told. And they well knew they did it because they were contacted literally immediately, and they refused to fess up. Because, hey, we're all in for money. You know, that's what it's all about. And I didn't get a dime. But I did get my credit for it.
Good.
And I'm happy
well
with that.
Deserved.
And that's one thing. Yeah, and that's one thing I think as a woman in the male-dominated industry of ghost hunting, I just went right at them. And I don't think they know what hit them, but they never responded to anything. They were quiet, and good for them, because I didn't.
That's why you're queen of the paranormal, because you don't let anybody step on what you do. And you should never, you've been so phenomenal in the past few years on top of that. You got to go to some really great conventions.
Yes.
Movies.
Hello?
Okay. I said you've also been doing some really cool movies, and it looks like you're getting even more movies to do, which I think is phenomenal. I am so proud.
It's a lot. It's a
all
lot
the
of fun.
Wonderful things. It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun. I honestly believe if you can give, you will get in return. And I've been doing movies since the 70s, and you can go to my IMDb page and check out all the stuff. I knew at a very young age that
movies.
I want.
Yes, you also did your own filming of investigations. If other people are interested in that as well. And those were on DVD in that platform. And I'm telling you, if anybody watches one of those DVDs, you're just going to be blown away, because you did everything so wonderfully. I mean, you wouldn't know you weren't one of the big time directors when it came to what you filmed. But you worked with a really great group of people. So I think that...
Yeah. I work for I work
and
for
you were trained by some
and,
really great people.
Yes, I was trained as far as stage presence and stage execution by Rex Traylor, who taught the same thing at Emerson College, and he taught all the newscasters, you know, like Heather Kahn and stuff on the Boston scene many years ago. And so Rex Traylor and I, he had a show called Boomtown. And I, as a very young girl, I think I was very young, 11, 12 years old. And my grandmother, we used to do these carnivals for muscular dystrophy. And we collect the money that we do the carnivals, and we would deliver it to in Boston to Rex Traylor. And that's how I originally met him, as a very young girl. And I was so into his ability to be able to include all ethnicities on his television program up in New England, because New England is, you know, at that time, just we had a lot of white people up here. Let's just face it, same thing in New Hampshire. But he made it an even playing field for everybody, people with disabilities, people of different religions, people of different colors. He was hip long before hip was chic. And I was always fascinated by that. And we became friends over the years, where I handled all his publicity. And when his fingers wouldn't work anymore, I used to play the guitar for him while he sang the Boomtown song. So that was a heck of a lot of fun. And a side story is Rex Traylor and Hans Holzer. Hans Holzer was visiting WBZ Studios in Boston with Rex Traylor, and they were going to go ghost hunting over by in a friend's house of Rex Traylor's. And I was invited. I was very, very young, and I had a car. I think I was like 16, and I went over there, and all three of us went ghost hunting together. And that was hell. If I had a cell phone, if they were even invented back then, I would have been taking pictures. But to be able to, you know, have actually ghost hunting with Hans Holzer in my Rex Traylor was just fantastic. It was so much fun. So that was wonderful.
Well, That's really neat because he also taught you how to do the ropes.
Yes. In fact, at the Paranormal Wars, I think I surprised everyone with
spinning
the ropes.
That was amazing.
Excuse me?
Nobody knew
Rex. Now, it was funny. I did a show with James Montgomery, a blues player, and Rex Traylor. And Rex was on, and he was supposedly going to be teaching me how to spin the ropes. And now James Montgomery knew, like, I know she knows how to do this.
That's
so Rex
cute.
Was teaching me. And so,
such a genuine guy. And what a blessing it was. You also helped with him. Getting acknowledged in, was it the Hall of Fame? What was that? You had him acknowledged in.
I had him at, I believe it was the Paranormal Hall of Fame. He was a hypnotist. He was the president of the Hypnotist Guild and then formally retired, but still did all the filming for their yearly award system they had. And, he's just a fantastic guy, very, very down to earth, and I was very helpful, and he was very instrumental in mentoring me to be positive, to be good to everybody, and, you know, that's what I do. I give to others. I was never afraid of putting someone in front of me and letting them shine. A lot of people
you're
are,
incredible.
But I'm,
you're
I'm not.
You're a humanitarian. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You're a humanitarian.
That's right.
A lot of people don't know that about you. But you've donated a lot of money. You've donated food. You've helped homeless people on the street. You've helped during holidays with gifts for children for hospitals. There's nothing that you won't do when it comes to being a humanitarian that I've noticed.
Well, I think it's important, like I said, to give back to your community. And got a little tickle there. When I do paranormal either events or let's say a convention, I do not do paranormal conventions anymore. They're called paracons. And the reason I stopped doing them, people are like, why don't you go do them? I'm like, you know what? You can only sing to the choir so long. I need it to get out of the church. And paranormal conventions, I think they're a great place to share experiences and get to know other paranormal teams. You very rarely see the general public coming in there. And I had a message that I wanted to share with the masses, let's say. And so I decided that I would take a more national, international route and do pop culture events where the only ones that went were the general public. So you had a much better chance to have your message noticed, you know, seen and heard. So I do a lot of those, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to share your knowledge to a lot of people, and they listen to you, and yeah, you can sell your product. That's all good. But my main reason to do when I go into this different communities is I give back to the communities in which I go into to do these events, pop culture or Comic-Con events. These people are paying us to be here from the community who are buying tickets, and they're spending their good hard-earned money. And I want to make sure that I give back to that community, whether it's a homeless shelter, food pantry, or an animal rescue, whether it's a private rescue or a nonprofit rescue, I'm there to help give back. In fact, at SilCon last year, and that was in Illinois, I linked up with the Genesis Animal Rescue and also the food pantry there, and I said that whoever brought an item would receive a free signed photograph. And I kept to my word, and boy, we filled bags and bags and had pictures taken with the mascot dog and whatnot. But it's essential to me to be able to give back. I made the money because I made it from the people in the community. So therefore, I'm going to take a percentage of it and give back or sponsor these free photographs and stuff events right at the table.
I love that. And I know that a lot of people appreciate that, especially the people who receive. They're probably beyond words when it comes to getting, you know, the help that you've provided just to get that edge off. I think it's amazing. Now, you've done some really cool stuff recently. And you
have? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What did I do?
You did a lot of stuff. I don't think you ever stop. You're like an Energizer bunny. You never stop. But you did the comic book, the Ghost Hunters comic book, first one ever to be a comic. And not only that, but you're a real life superhero. So
yes,
if you don't mind talking about the comic book, and then, you know, we can kind of read into like how you became a real life superhero, which is pretty a very cool story.
Well, this is a couple of stories here to, you know, kind of split them up and so people can understand. It was back at O Comic Con in Omaha, Nebraska, which borders Oaks Bluff, Iowa. It's right over the bridge. So they had the O Comic Con in actually Oaks Hook, in Iowa, Oaks Bluff, Iowa, and but they were calling it Nebraska. I don't know. They all had a central area, huge convention. So they flew me out there, and I did the Queen of the Paranormal. And a gentleman came up to me. He said, "How would you like to be in a comic book?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, how freaking cool is this? Yes, I want to be in a comic book." And then I thought about it, and I said, "Wait a minute." And I made a smart move. I said, "What I want is my name. Trademark name, Queen of Paranormal. I want me doing exactly what I do in real life in that comic book. I don't want some fictional thing doing." And he said, "Okay." And so we worked long and hard. And then I was called by the author, who is a comic historian. And he told me, "You know what? I've been researching this. And as far as I can see, and I've had other people research for me, you are the first person in comic book history to be a superhero, doing what you do in real life between the pages of a comic book as a superhero." So that is something that's not disputable. It's beautiful, which means you can't dispute it. It really is what it is, because most comics are made up. They're made up people, made up this, made up that. I'm 100% real, and what we do is real. I've done other comic books called Celebrity Ghost Hunters. I did that with Eileen Shapiro and Ron Russell and Jimmy Starr. And we had a rock star with us. And we went down to Kings Park, New York, Kings Park, Long Island, to the Kings Park Insane Asylum. And we went there, and we filmed all of the stuff that we were doing, and we put it up on the internet. And it was like, wow, within a day, it went viral, over 250,000 hits in 2 days, never mind how much more after that. And then we decided, oh, this is precious. We got to do another one. So we all went back down there again, and we did another one with a different
rock star.
I heard
you guys were funny and had a lot of fun together.
Yeah. We laughed our freaking heads off. It was hysterical. But you got to remember, this particular comic book is on the adultish side, and it is, again, 100% real. In fact, you can study the video footage of it on YouTube and then read the comic book, and you clearly see that Eileen Shapiro, who's extremely well endowed, got stuck on the fence with her boobs. This is not a made-up story. This freaking happened.
Oh, no.
And so she's hanging there from her breast, and we're just all contorting ourselves.
Oh, no.
It was funny. It was hysterical.
Well,
and she's laughing. Yeah, I know it. And then Russell looked, you know, he saw a glory hole in a wall, and then their stupid me didn't know what it was. Right?
Oh, no.
What is the glory hole?
Oh my God.
One of the rock stars there, I guess, had a grinder app or some kind of app that you like hook up with guys or girls on the road. And so it kept going off. And so put all of these elements into the comic book.
That's so funny. Because
they were real. They were really happening. And so we put it in there, and we gave people the opportunity to be the rock star if they wanted to. And we sold, like, you could be a demon on the wall, you could be a ghost, or you could be or certificate, like in a picture at the restaurant. And so we sold all the different elements so people could be in the book. And
That's great.
We made our goal and we sold them. And I mean, my pile, and you know that with Jimmy, they went like hotcakes. Yeah, that's because she was stuck on the fence with a
book. I'm sorry, Eileen, but oh my gosh, you guys, it was
truly something to behold. The conversations were like out of this world. But there were some pretty scary moments, even though it was funny. We were laughing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of humor goes a long way when you're scared. Trust me with this one. We were under, like at King's Park, we were under the ground, literally three floors lower than the basement, how they stacked the basement.
Ooh.
And we were in areas that no people were in since they closed down those buildings and sealed them off. It was amazing. And at one point, I remember asking, do you know who we are, or do you know who I am? Because I've been there several times. And to film the show, we did it the legal way. We did get the permission. But the other times I went, I didn't have the permission. I was just like, you know, running wild, being a wild girl. But anyways, that's how I learned about the place. And so I asked, do you know who we are, or something to that effect. You can watch it on the video or read it in the comic book. And the voice came back on, when you click it and you play it back, it came back, Jimmy Starr. And I'm thinking, at that point, I realized the spirits have intellect. I mean, I always kind of thought they did, but this was a direct Class A EVP. And a lot of people don't know that that instant EVP playback, which I became part of the Paranormal Hall of Fame, is an adaptation on, you know, what people were doing with EVPs, where they were collecting hours worth and then listening to hours worth. I didn't. I had a reel-to-reel little cassette. I'd ask a couple questions, rewind it, and play it back. And I did that way back, and I think in 2007, it's time stamped or around there, where nobody was doing it. And finally it caught on, and now everybody does it. Again, I get no credit, but hey, the Hall of Fame, you know, honored me with that. So eventually, you know, when you go into the history books as doing this and that, I will and they won't. And that's just the way it goes. The proof is in the pudding. It's in the time stamp. It's right there. But anyway, so that was fantastic that a spirit knew Jimmy's name. You can hear it clear as a bell.
How did they
Jimmy Starr. We all looked at each other like, oh, my God, it knows us. Because we kept calling. Jimmy was called.
Yeah, you couldn't set that up. That's on. Was it a spirit box?
You couldn't set it up at all because Jimmy had the laptop or the iPad that he was like filming with.
Yeah.
And he's filming all of us, and we're all in view watching. You know me do this thing, and you know, and you heard it on the EVP on the instant playback that I created.
Wow.
And it was done in real time. And it was just so amazing that a spirit, because we were calling for Jimmy, get this, film that, Jimmy, get this. So of course, the spirit, Jimmy Starr. Because we're saying so much. So
that
was
neat.
The coolest thing ever. Yeah, that was wild. And we did have one of the rock stars became you know what? You can only be in the spirit world so long, and then it starts to bother you. It's like, oh, my God, this stuff is real. This is not a fake ghost hunting show that they film 5 and 8 days in a row and make it look like one night. Like, that takes no brains. That's called entertainment.
That is.
When you come with,
when you come with me,
it is 100% real. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can smell it. And you can hear those EVPs. So one of the gentlemen became unnerved and really had to leave the building. He was very upset because these things were really happening. And it wasn't a made-up ghost show. It was truly happening. And And, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like the ghost shows on TV. I think they're great entertainment to get your feet wet in the paranormal. And maybe you want to be mentored by, you know, a good team that does it the right way with knowledge and experience. That's important. But then again, these shows are meant, and hey, listen, I do casting for these shows, and I have helped produce these shows. You can see my stuff on IMDb, and I know for a fact that entertainment, and they're not real, period. The most real we've ever gotten were my CeCe the Huntress shows, where the camera film ran, and it shut off in 1 hour. You got or you didn't. That was it.
Yeah.
So, but I am saying I think they're great entertainment on a scary night with popcorn. Yeah, but don't feed into it. That's it. And you know, and people hate me for saying that, but I'm going, you know, there's got to be some realism here. Somebody, they got to have at least common sense to know that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But what we were doing in Kings Park Asylum, which, again, they could not get into any of the ghost shows, only me, because I keep the facilities intact. I don't taunt the ghost. I don't act like it's really happening when it's not. It's 100% real. And we did that, and Eileen Shapiro, Ron Russell, and Jimmy Starr, and the rock stars, we just had our eyes popping out literally at every turn because there was something happening. And I must compliment Ron Russell because he is a true comedian of such quality, Hollywood quality. I mean, it's amazing to watch him work. That was a mentoring lesson for me because I love to do comedy. I was the highest viewed comedian on YouTube in 2006. I must have got at least 4 or 5 clicks of the like button because YouTube was brand new back then. But yeah, I got that honor. I was very happy with it. And that's with the comedy I did. So I like to incorporate funny things when people are scared or I do these comic shows and stuff. And so I was watching Ron. I was watching him time and pace the comedy and all during this ghost hunt laughing. So, he was funny. And the thing with Ron is he does know how to ghost hunt. He is an experienced ghost hunter. You know,
wow.
Don't let anyone say any different.
I didn't know that.
He really knows how to use dowsing rods and all the equipment.
Really?
He knows how to call the spirits. He knows how to call them forward, and that it was such a delight to have him there to be working on a par with him. It was just amazing.
That's fun. Sounds like you guys had a really, really great time.
Yes, and we're going to be doing more. We got Celebrity Ghost Hunters, the movie coming out, and then we have a trip out there to film another going viral program of it. So we have things that we're busy with that we're going to be doing in the future.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'd be a great time. But it's also a learning lesson because it is in real time. It's really happening in front of your camera. It's not like a TV show. It's really happening. That's what makes it so fantastic is that part of it. And,
well,
and watching the eyeballs pop out of their head.
Well, the people that you have are all multi-talented. Period. They're just all professionals. They all have their own special talent on top of it. But I wanted to talk to you about, you have Paranormal 13 as well. So you juggle so many different things, but Paranormal 13 News,
I was approached by a gentleman, Ronnie James and Bruce Knight. They both own it. And they wanted me to reinvent it and make it really hip. And I said, I'll do it. How much money do you have? Well, no, we just want you to do it. And I'm thinking, oh, that's baloney. I said, make me third owner. And they did. And so with that, what I wanted to do with Paranormal 13 News is to help women and some men be able to be seen on a level that they couldn't even pay for in their wildest dreams. And that's called globally. And it was important for me to put their websites up, their information up, so they could exchange commerce, again, at a level that they couldn't do, like on a cable show. You have to pay, it's crazy amounts of money, and I was doing this for free for them. So we had a great run at, you know, debunking things and real stories and a lot of fun in a news format, and plus helping along the way, helping others. And that was fun. And so then I tweaked it again, tweaking and trying to help, and I come up with special reports with which you host, which is fantastic. You do such a great job for us, and we have so many people watching it, and it's just a lot of fun. You brought the real person to Paranormal 13 News Special Reports. Yeah, no, you're a real person, and you let that shine right through. You're educated in the field of the paranormal, and that came through. And you were so freaking funny with the outhouse clips. That was
not hard with you. It's not hard with you. You're a woman who has a great sense of humor. And while we were getting ready to do the special reports, you have me laughing. So it's so hard not to laugh when you're around.
Well, you know, it's again, the humor part, it comes in really handy when you see someone nervous or scared. You try to balance it. I did this at the events with a little bit of humor. And that little bit of humor went a long way at King's Park with Ron, that's for sure, because that place is freaking scary. But when you're nervous being in front of a television camera for the first time, it's great to have it funny. Make it look easy. And people always say, you make it look so incredibly easy, but
I don't know
what I'm going to do. So
right.
We did it a couple of times, and you did a fantastic job. I mean, you just rattled off what you were supposed to say like you were a pro, and that's exactly how it came out. But what people don't realize about Paranormal 13 News on the Galaxy Global Television Network is that we are in, well, other than Roku and all the website and stuff, we are in 195 countries, all the countries in the world globally.
That's
you can watch Paranormal 13 News. It's just not on a cable show on TV in the United States. We are global. And another thing is we cannot be canceled. The way my contract is written and what I do, we're good for another 10 years now. You know, and people don't realize that, but we have such a great viewership when it comes to our ratings, when we get the numbers from, you know, Roku and the other systems. I mean, we are right up there. And yes, people like sci-fi or Annie, and they like all of that, but that's just in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, we are globally recognized as a news formatted program. So that's what I like about Paranormal 13 News. We are helping people get
to me when you presented it. You said it can't be canceled. And I said, what do you mean by it can't be canceled? And then you said, I'm going to tell you this. I can't be canceled. And I was like, because what you were talking about, you know, we're talking generally about other shows that get canceled. The other Ghost Hunter shows that get canceled, they get brought back, they get on other networks. You've got a show that cannot be canceled for any reason other than unless you don't want to do it.
That's the truth, and that's the fact of the matter, and I'm glad to be able to bring in people again that may be have disabilities, or they're challenged in some way, whether it could be mentally or otherwise. We have a team where the lead person on the team suffers from Asperger's, and it's amazing. They're called East Coast Paranormal, and you can go on there and watch his shows. We also have a gentleman, Rabbi Raphael, and he's Mr. Ron Kerner, and he does Demonology 101. And along with that, he's also executive producer on a program that we're doing called Demon Destroyers, LLC, as a corporation that we formed to give people a real insight into demonology. It comes with documentary and a whole bunch of other things. That's an actual television series that was picked up with an option just recently. We're optioned now. So that's a big thing when it comes to IMDb. And, but they're, And there, and all of this will be on not just other channels, but it'll be on the Galaxy Global Television Network as well. So the ability to be able to give people something that's sustainable is with Galaxy Global Television Network. And the other things, hey, they cancel those things, you know, like when the wind blows. And that's sad because some of those shows are great, not just for entertainment, but some of them are freaking good. And you're like, you cancel them? Why? And, well, I don't know why, but ours can't be canceled because I own it.
That's
own
amazing.
It, and that's it. So I don't own the Galaxy Television Network, but I own the show. Sure.
I have another thing to ask you. If this is exciting, or even more so, is to be the face of airport television.
Yes, I was the first person in the paranormal to be able to be on airport TV, and it was with Paranormal 13 News. Now, with every contract, the airports have contracts with the content providers providing the content that goes up on these screens, these digital signing screens. Well, this contract ran out, and another corporation took over airport television, and they're there to stay for the foreseeable future. And so I approached them because I wanted to be on there again. And I swung them a deal that I would do X and they would do X and some money to exchange, because you don't want to do everything for nothing. And that worked. And so right away, I was made the face of airport streaming television services. I do PSAs, which are public service announcements for international airports. And I'm on the digital screens that you see. I also sit above, charging stations where you can make domestic calls, international calls, all for free, and charge your devices all for free while you're watching maybe a television show that I did, or these little blips of paranormal news, or paranormal or supernatural news, or whatever, hosted by me. Again, no one else in the paranormal has ever done this, and I don't know if they will. They better get some serious money up if they do, that's for sure. but for me, I'm there, and another thing that's there is you, Debbie Perkins, with special reports. This is how we all work together and help
wonderful.
Each other.
You're one of the nicest people I've ever worked with in my whole life, so it's very easy to work with you.
Well, I figured being a bitch is going to get you nowhere, so you may as well just be nice, you know, and just continue to break those barriers and go forward. That's what you have to do, and never rely on your laurels. Always keep pushing forward, whether it's with writing books or new things, you know, that you do. And in fact, you working with children doing paranormal investigative work, you are first to doing teen groups and things like that. Don't ever sell yourself short. That's incredible, and I commend you for that. There's a lot of firsts
that
you have done yourself.
A lot of people gave me a lot of hard time about doing teaching teenagers paranormal, but I thought it was necessary. Because we were teenagers, we were young when we had our experiences, and all the teenagers that I had all had experiences, and they wanted to learn, and I don't see why there's an age difference when it's an educated-based process. If it's just for show or for fun or entertainment, that's a different process.
That's different. Sure,
but
I get that right away.
And they still, some of those kids still actually, now they're grown-ups, because it's happened so many years ago, they're now grown-ups and they're actually enjoying the paranormal field in another way that other people don't understand. They know the real way, and I hope they continue in the process, but if they don't, they don't, but some of them still do. So we got to give it to just... I wanted to help children, just like you do. You've helped children learn a lot of different things. So I don't know. I guess it's just the who we are.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think people that are jealous because you did something they didn't do, they just try to, you know, talk ill of you. Same thing when I trademarked the Queen of the Paranormal. Even though I was using it for years prior, I trademarked it, announced it, and everybody all of a sudden went, oh, my God, you know, having a mental breakdown over it. And so, I mean,
which
they,
is really strange because it's not like they want to be the Queen of the Paranormal.
Yeah, they body slam you, they this, they that. But, you know, I look at it this way. It's just a Facebook click crowd who doesn't even know how to use other social media, that they're all embroiled in, you know, their own selves. And that says, look out of the box. And I have. And, I mean, I was featured in the New York Weekly Times with Sadie Katz. What an honor to be with her as being the best, you know, the best, I guess, paranormal personality in the world. That was
That's
me.
Amazing.
She was the best horror personality. I mean, in the New York Weekly Times on the front page. I mean, this was so cool. I mean, how could this happen? And it happens because people are in tune and they watch you and they like you and they push you forward. That's what they do. And it was an honor to do that. And people that knocked me and all this stuff, you know, and I've been called names and they still do that. I just say, well, how good are you? You're not standing here with me.
That's right.
Period.
I like that. Wow.
Boom. There you go. And so, and they say,
so
oh,
crazy.
You're
so Our time
like,
is running low.
Like,
our time is so
no,
running low.
Sign
and
up
you
for
are
another
so amazing.
Hour. Oh, my God.
I know, you're awesome. What would you like people to know about you that they normally wouldn't know just by sheer appearance?
I would like them to know that we're all struggling during this pandemic, and that even though you see these things in magazines and TV shows and all of this going on, that a lot of struggle still has to go on. And I'm not afraid to work. I've got like 3 jobs plus all my other things that I do in the paranormal and being the face of these different digital signing screens. And I'm just a hard worker, and you can attain your dreams even during a pandemic. Get out there, help people, wear your mask, and never, ever give up. And just keep going. I want people to know that it's very important. We're all suffering here, but we can come out with some goodness together if we work hard.
Where can people reach you and get a hold of you?
The best place to do is queenoftheparanormal.com. And from there, they can read all about Hollywood Entertainment News, a brand new TV show I'm hosting with the Hollywood Entertainment News.com magazine. And they'll find everything else they can, and they can get into my IMDb page and all my social media accounts right from that website.
That the Entertainment News is going to be so exciting. The Hollywood Entertainment News.
Yes, we
News.
Have. Yes, yeah, it's Hollywood gossip with a positive spin. That's what I like to say. It's a fun format, and it's going to be because of the pandemic, we've had to hold up production and everything. But I've decided that we're going to do it in brief spurts. Instead of a long half hour, we're going to do maybe 3 to 6 minutes and stack them on VOD. Make
That's
it
awesome.
A lot more palatable for people to do. So we're going to start that production hopefully next week. If we get the green light, we'll see.
Well, thank you so much. I loved having you.
Well, thank
come
you.
On.
Thank you for having me on.
This
I appreciate
a really
it.
Great show. It's a really great show. Thank
yeah,
you, everybody,
fun.
For listening to us. And you heard Kadosha Ona, Queen of the Paranormal. Please go check out her website. And we will see you again on Thursday. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Scott Markson. Let's just look you up, Scott Markson.